Blog Talk Radio.
From the ISIS training camps of Ciudad Juarez to the killing fields of North America, and broadcasting from a modest aluminum tin horn decal festooned mini Airstream trailer. Kelly O'Connell here today. Good morning. It is the 15th day. It's tax day, April 15th. Sorry to ruin your morning like that, but it is just one of those things. So you can always put in for an extension today. If you're behind, I would suggest you do that. With all of this, all of this stuff with Obamacare and all the other things going on, it would be understandable. I know that the IRS supposedly had to send out multiple copies of its stuff to some people. All right, so the big news today is that we have word that there is an ISIS camp discovered at the U.S. border, and more interesting, or more frightening, I should say, it appears to be 8 miles west of Juarez. And I've got a little clip on this for you. Alex Jones. All right, so that's from Alex Jones. I know there's some Alex Jones fans out there. All right. So what do we know? Well, according to some other reports, it is unconfirmed that these guys are out there. Now, this is according to U.S. federal law agencies. The report of ISIS and APRA, Mexico, is unsubstantiated. Rumors circulating online, and this is from KVIA, that the terrorist group ISIS has set up a camp in APRA, Mexico, not far from the U.S.-Mexican border in El Paso, is similar to the story that we heard a couple of months ago, and so it was very alarming for people. Now, here is just a little bit more on that from Alex Jones. And once again, if you're just tuning in, there is a report. We do not know how credible it is, but there's a report that there is an ISIS terrorist training camp just a few miles from here, 8 miles west of Ciudad Juarez. And as we talked about before, the opportunities for ISIS on this border are massive. In addition to that, we don't seem to be really that concerned about it, which 523-1450, you can share your opinion. If you're Mike or if you're Patty, the government is trying to wipe you out. If you're other listeners, I don't know. It's just we've gotten too big for our shoes. We're too easy. We don't think anything can really touch us. And yet look back just a few years ago when the tallest buildings in America, two of them, were brought down together in one terrorist attack. And it could have been a lot worse for New York. And now we've got this report on the border. It's very, very unnerving. Check this out. Well, folks, I've got a little bleed over from one of my other windows that's open, but let's just finish this clip here. All right, so a little bit more left on that clip, but you get the idea there. It is an extraordinary claim. We don't know if it's warranted or not, but let's look at it this way. We know that the government is allowing, for whatever reasons, for people to come into this country who have criminal records in other places. Why they would do that and why we would act like we can't stop them is one of the most interesting stories I've ever heard. I mean, it builds this case that I've been talking about, where it seems like we as Americans might even feel like we deserve to get attacked, that we deserve to be infiltrated or whatever. I'm not saying that from any, scientific study or anything. It's just my gut is telling me that there's a lot of people that are buying into this America the Bad motif or storyline, and, there's ultimately no explanation for a lot of the stuff that's going on out there, and we do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ted. Yeah, this idea that the cartel would help ISIS just really doesn't pass the smell test with me.
Why?
This cartel is involved with big money smuggling drugs and immigrants, and for them to bring down a lot of heat on the border by dealing with these ISIS folks, it just seems to be a cross purpose with a big money operation. They don't want any more heat coming down on the border, so I don't see why they deal with these ISIS folks at all.
Mothership to Ted, let me ask you something. Isn't it possible that this is something that they have a joint interest in? ISIS wants to get people across the border. This is just a theory. And, the cartel is selling smuggling, and while they're doing the smuggling of humans, they're also bringing in drugs. I mean, isn't it really – and here, let me add one more layer to the story here. What if ISIS is bringing opium? We know that one of the chief sources of funding for these guys over in Afghanistan and other places is growing poppies. What if they're doing quid pro quo? We'll give you this. You give us that. Bring your poppies or your heroin over to us. What do you think?
They already have the cartel already has one of the best distractions around. They'll send a bunch of women and children over in one place, and then they'll draw all the resources,
question,
the border
You're
resources to that place,
to
because the kids need to be
to
cared
Ted.
For, and then
Ted.
They'll be smuggling drugs in the other place. Yeah.
Ted, I'm just trying to get your attention here. You did not answer my question. You're turning your back on the possibility that ISIS might have a lot of heroin to bring over here at a good price.
I just thinking from the cartel's point of view, I just don't see why they'd sell themselves short. There's plenty of poppy fields in Mexico.
Well, yeah, you act like the cartel is interested in the long-term viability of America. If they were, they wouldn't be bringing drugs over here and helping illegals cross the border.
Oh no, this is purely self-serving to them. There's just a ton of money to be made in drugs, and they that's their sole interest.
Ted, let me ask you this: are you saying that it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever that these two groups would be working together? They would have nothing in common. They wouldn't have any common goals.
I just think they're a lot smarter than that.
Who is?
The cartel.
Ted, they almost destroyed the entire country of Mexico in this war. How smart could they possibly be? They have almost turned it into a failed state. How smart are you to go into the area where you're living or where you're trying to set up shop and just randomly killing people? There were 8 people killed a day at the height of this drug war. How is that smart?
Well, I that's a bad answer. That's a little beyond my pay grade, but there are different cartel groups that are fighting each other,
right. So it's not just one unified monolithic group that has got this wise yet illegal approach to everything. Let me ask you this: let's just say you were in charge of ISIS, or you're a general. Wouldn't it be in your interest to try to get some people over here? Next to our country, in another country, the next door country that is not nearly as law abiding and has maybe set up some camps, what would be wrong with that?
Well, sure, it's a lot easier to get into Mexico than it is to get into the U.S. And I've often thought about them pulling a big bomb up to the border. They could do that, and they just might, but. I just don't see where it's in ISIS's interest to, the cartel's interest to work with ISIS. I just don't see it.
All right. Well, that's a good point. And I appreciate the call, Ted, and you have a wonderful day.
You bet.
All right, folks. Ted is raising some good points. What in the world does the cartel have in common with the, ISIS? On the other hand, you can argue they're both mafia-like organizations. One, I was about to say one is more bloody than the other. I don't, you know, I think the cartel and ISIS might be equal in their ability to kill. And you've got supposedly these guys that were beheaded and hung upside down. Supposedly, I've heard this before anyway, that they've got their idea for doing that from Islam, from some of these terrorist groups that they were in contact with over the drug trade. I don't know. I mean, I'm open-minded on this. I could go either way. But we keep getting these reports that they're across the border. You've got to admit one thing. It is well established for these guys, if they wanted to come over here, or at least come over to Mexico. It's easy access over the border. You would say if they had any interest in America at all, that's where they would go. And in addition to that, why wouldn't they? They've got all of these people from across the world coming to Syria to fight, even from our own nation. All right, folks, KOBE AM Las Cruces 1450. I'm Kelly O'Connell. and got a lot going on today. Got some Ben Rossum coming in, but some big stories right now. The question is ISIS coming in? Are they training to come into America right across, or just a few miles from here? 523-1450 at 625 and 50 degrees right now. We'll be right back. Kelly here. It's 6:29, and we've got news that the river water is going to flow in May, according to the Sun News. It's going to be a slim water year. And so, well, what did you expect? We're in the middle of kind of a drought. So I'll tell you guys a story about the spaceport in just a minute. Here's some headlines for you. Reporters outnumber voters as Hillary opens in Iowa at a coffee shop. Video, media chasing the Scooby van. Students locked in classrooms during her campus visit so they don't knock over her walker or they don't derail her wheelchair. How old is Hillary Clinton? Number one Google search. De Blasio, the mayor of New York, the Marxist mayor of New York, says this is a different country we're living in right now. I'm not going to support that old sea cow. Hollywood support reluctant in some quarters. All right, main headlines here. EU charges Google for antitrust. Is Google a monopoly? Hillary's father's tombstone toppled over. Hopefully Hillary was not under it, or maybe a lot of you would hope that she was under it when it toppled. And, all right, here is a little bit more. UK scrambling jets as Russian ships enter English Channel. The Russians are flexing their muscles. Valerie Jarrett kissing reporters before interview. How disgusting. Better go to the STD clinic and get a test. Snoop Dogg is investing in a pot delivery startup. Snoop Dogg, the famous rapper. All right, so there's this guy, his name was Gunther Grass, and he wrote The Tin Drum, a very famous German novel. And before he died, he died, I think, in his 80s. But this is supposed to be one of the most important, or maybe the most important German novel of the last century, kind of dealt with the issue of how Germany picked itself up and created a new society after the horror of Nazism. Anyway, this guy said that we're walking into World War III. Is that possible? I mean, think of all of the missteps that we've made. Whoever you want to blame it on, that you think it is, we've made a lot of mistakes. And we do have a phone call here. A lot of mistakes around the world, but especially in the Middle East, that could be a tinderbox out there. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. And good morning to you. Hope you're doing well. Who is this?
Good morning, Kelly. It's Tom.
Hey, Tom. What's going on?
I was listening to that about the ISIS crossing the border. That, you know, that's been known for some time. In regards to the cartels, I've got a couple of thoughts to share on that. You know, the cartels control who goes across that border. You have to pay them tribute to get across there. You don't get across without their approval.
All right.
And they're all different. And there are all different factions down there, as you said a little while back there, that are warring with each other. Now, some of those factions might figure that ISIS is a good power to have behind them to give them more control there. And,
yeah,
you know, ISIS has millions, hundreds of millions of dollars now to work with. They got the oil supply that they're selling to Turkey under the table. And they've got, you know, all the riches that they've been scooping up over there. They've got a lot. And as you said, the drugs, and it's well known that drugs are the main currency among terrorist organizations help them get their weapons, et cetera. So I think that's a possibility there.
Well, where is this idea that the cartel has the is like tremendously, you know, like has this perfect business model and they wouldn't disrupt it, and they make wise decisions, and that they would never do anything to harm their client, America. I mean, they're harming us all the time.
That's true, yeah. And as you say, you know, with the shootings in broad daylight down there, assassinating judges and politicians, and daylight kidnappings and ransom. They've kidnapped Americans and held them for ransom. Yeah, and I don't think they're... they really care about upsetting, you know, America.
That's true. Okay, Tom, thanks a lot for the call, and have a great day. So what do you think? Do you, when you hear that there's a terrorist camp that is set up a few miles from here, do you believe in it? And we've got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Hope you're doing well. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Patty Riley, citizen journalist. What's going on, Patty?
Hi, Kelly. Yeah, they've been here a couple of years at least. It was in Judicial Watch. I put it out there.
Yeah.
And they're in Anthony at the airport. I don't know. I'm sure they're running some drugs as well for the cartel. The cartel also filters their money through Wells Fargo. That's fact. And it was
Wells Fargo?
A document
how do you know
I
that?
Saw.
Patty, how do you know that they use Wells Fargo?
I read that somewhere. I'll have to go back and look through my notes, and I'll get back with you on that, where I found that out.
That's an outrageous claim, but maybe they fell in love with the picture of the wagon, you know, the Old West.
Maybe the stagecoach. Another thing, I believe it was Dr. Savage the other night on one of his broadcasts, and I'll have to go back and look and listen, but he said that they are now in 48 of the 50 states.
Well, if they're a business, they're expanding.
Yes, they are. So, yeah, we have a problem. There is a problem, and the cartel is helping them. So, neither group is good.
Patty, let me ask you this: what would the cartel have to gain by helping ISIS? I mean, in theory, ISIS could come in here with a bomb and blow the smithereens out of everybody at some major city, and that would harm the cartel's ability to sell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they may. It would. Actually, it would. But they may be being offered more money. It's always, you know, the money game. And if they're being offered more money by this group, ISIS, then they wouldn't care. They don't care. Neither group cares. It's a money factor, so... they could be being paid off by the ISIS junts. So,
yeah, all right.
That's a fact. I mean, that's not a fact, but that's a theory that you could use.
Yeah.
But I will find that other stuff, and I'll get back with you all on that.
Okay, Patty, well, thanks a lot, and have a good day. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Thanks. All right, folks, we will take a little break here, and a lot of stories to cover today. I believe Ben Rossin's coming in, but you never know. You never know about some of these local celebrities. They're getting torn, every time they go outside. I'm sure Ben Rossin has fans, especially female fans, tearing at his clothing. But Ben's a good guy, and he's got his Rossin's report, I believe, he's delivering today. Here is 6:37. We are talking about ISIS, the claims that ISIS has got a camp in Anaparo, however you pronounce it, just outside of Juarez, and that they're training them for jihad. And we've gotten some calls really doubting that and saying, why would they bother? I don't know. But they bothered to blow us up before, so why wouldn't they do it again? You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. Be right back. It's Kelly here, of course, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And for the weather today, partly cloudy, high of 79, low of 56, and right now it's 50 degrees. I had my door open all night, and it felt pretty cozy, really. We were talking earlier about this claim that the ISIS is set up a few miles from El Paso, and the report from Judicial Watch said that released yesterday said that it includes a Mexican Army field grade officer and a Mexican federal police inspector who were giving information on this report. And Judicial Watch claims coyotes, or people who work in smuggling working for the notorious Juarez cartel, are helping to move ISIS terrorists through the desert and across the border between Santa Teresa and Sunset Park, New Mexico. Very specific claims. And east of El Paso in Ciudad Juarez, supposedly cartel-backed coyotes are smuggling members of the jihadi terrorist group through the porous border between Ocala and Fort Hancock, Texas, quoting from Judicial Watch. So the group says that these locations are targeted for ISIS because of their unstaffed municipal and county police forces and the relative safe havens the areas provide for the unchecked large-scale drug smuggling that was already ongoing. So another ISIS cell is supposed to be in Puerto Palomas, located west of Ciudad Juarez. That cell supposedly targets the New Mexico towns of Columbus and Deming for easy access into the U.S., quoting out of the Judicial Watch report. During a joint operation last week between the Mexican Army and federal law enforcement officials, discovered were documents in Arabic and Urdu, as well as plans for Fort Bliss, the sprawling community right below us in El Paso, military installation. Now, military intelligence told Judicial Watch that ISIS, quote, intends to exploit the railways and airport facilities in the vicinity of Santa Teresa, New Mexico. And that ISIS had spotters located in the East Potrillo Mountains of New Mexico in areas managed by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management to assist with smuggling operations with the terrorist groups. And ISIS is supposedly conducting reconnaissance of targets, including regional universities. Listen to this, folks. ISIS, according to this report from Judicial Watch, is supposedly conducting a reconnaissance of targets that includes regional universities, electrical power facilities near Anapra, and Chaparral, New Mexico, and the White Sands Missile Range. Wouldn't that be incredible if they tried to go after White Sands? Now, in September, Francis Taylor, Undersecretary for Intelligence and Analysis of the Department of Homeland Security, testified that there have been Twitter and social media exchanges involving ISIS adherents across the globe discussing the ideas of infiltrating the U.S. from our border area. Duncan Hunter, California Republican and a representative, said his sources said that there's at least been 10 ISIS fighters captured trying to cross the border into Texas. Now, Department of Homeland Security has said that's totally false. So that's a report, and, you know, what can you say? I would think that we should pay a little bit of attention to us. To this report, that it's frankly, it's very unnerving, to be honest. I mean, if they're looking at regional universities, isn't NMSU a regional university? And the electrical grid, I mean, you know, if you've seen them in town, they're not especially protected. I mean, they've got maybe a little razor wire fence around them. And White Sands, I mean, how impregnable is White Sands? You know, there's a lot of military installations around here that they could attack. Fortunately, those installations can also defend us. All right, it is 7:46. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. And we'll be right back at 6:47. Okay, Kelly here, 6:49 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, and there are some interesting stories on ISIS. I'm just going to pass them on to you. We do have Ben Rossin in his Rossin report coming in. Ramadi could fall as ISIS militants lay siege, Iraqi officials warn. Now, there's a number of stories on this. So you're asking yourself, undoubtedly, like I was when I saw this article or this story, what about the American battle against ISIS? Well, it turns out, for whatever reason, supposedly, I've just read a big article on this from MSNBC, that the Senate is not going to do anything, or Congress is giving up on authorizing ISIS mission, MSNBC. Now, although Obama claimed that he was going to that fight first, supposedly, and this according to the article, Congress's Republican majority has not done any real work on the issue, and that's not going to change. And Mr. McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, a California legislator, has said that he's not going to bring any votes up. He's not going to bring up bills that he doesn't think could even pass muster, could not pass a vote. And so this is a very strange thing. Now, let me ask you something. If the Republicans are not going to do anything about ISIS, why not? Why wouldn't they be? I mean, wasn't it the Republicans that were most complaining about this stuff and the dangers? And they say in one of these articles here, U.S. official calls ISIS a problem off the charts historically. ISIS is a problem that is off the charts historically and has sent the United States into uncharted territory. And yet, are we really not going to do anything about it? And is it really going to be the fault of the Republicans? I don't know. I'm just reading this stuff off the wire. But 523-1450 to call in. Let's take a moment for Schiff's Riffs, and we'll be right back. Mark Schiff. It is Kelly here, and we've got Ben Rawson right around the corner coming in. But we've got this story, and it is in CNN. And we do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Susan.
Susan, thanks for calling in. I can barely hear you, but go ahead.
Yes, I think that we really should take this threat or this information about ISIS on the border very seriously. We have to remember that the terrorist Al-Awlaki that was homegrown here in Las Cruces.
Yeah.
In Yemen. I mean, there's an ISIS connection there.
Yeah.
I think this is a very serious threat that I don't think any of us should ignore.
I agree 100%. We can barely hear you, Susan. Any chance you could call back next hour? We're just about out of time, but on a cleaner call?
I can try.
Okay,
thanks
a lot. Thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks. Got to work with people with whatever devices they're calling in on. Mike often calls in, and it sounds like from outer space, you know, kind of intermittent, you know what I mean? All right, so this story, U.S. ISIS reaction, U.S. official, ISIS is a problem that is off the charts historically and has sent the United States into uncharted territory when it comes to putting it down, putting down the terror group. And Obama's administrative main man told this to CNN. Brent McGurk made these comments, and it's a problem that, they've got so many issues going on with this. We'll pick up with this when, after Ben leaves, we'll bring this up again and just talk a little bit of ISIS. Kelly O'Connell, KOBE, 1450 AM Las Cruces. Be right back after a break on the hour. I mean, does the
have to hang it up on the wall, and then some idiot will come and steal it. Yeah, this, they do this in here. I think it's a comfortable little studio. Well, how's the baby? So what is it like to have a freaking kid? How does it feel to know that you're well, you know, it's something like that. It's like everybody kind of celebrates, you know, no matter what side of the lake you might be. Yeah. a mother picking the son, putting him on the toilet. Don't squeeze too hard, you'll get an aneurysm. Did you ever hear those prank calls I was playing? I did for about a week. I played prank calls. A lady who brought her dog, her red wolf retriever, show dog down.
Good morning, Kelly here, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And I've got Ben Rawson in the studio and looking for any other big stories to turn you on to. And I think probably the biggest story you're going to hear around this vicinity is the idea that there's an ISIS training camp right down the street. And it hasn't been confirmed, but these stories keep coming out. And let's face it, if you were looking to dominate the world and take it over for your religion, and you're going to do it violently, and you saw America as the chief person, the chief people who are getting in the way of you wanting to do that, why wouldn't you take the fight to them? And Ben, welcome to the show this morning. What did you think when you heard, as a county commissioner, and let's face it, Dona Ana spreads out pretty wide, wouldn't be that far from your constituency or from your the things that you're responsible for, these camps are, and it must be driving you crazy to hear these reports.
Kelly, you know, it sure is. These are certainly reports that cause a lot of alarm and concern, and we need to take them very seriously and make sure we respond to them appropriately and are prepared for what can happen.
Are we prepared, Ben? People are going to ask now over and over again themselves, what in the world would this county do if, we were told last year that we had half the number of sheriffs and cars and stuff, squad cars, what resistance could we possibly put up?
Kelly, well, in the sheriff's department, I'm glad to report that we have given additional funding to the sheriff to make sure that he can get his staff back up to full and the vehicles as well. But
will they at least get golf carts?
at least golf carts.
Can we go maybe from there?
Maybe with some rugged tires so we can get over the sand and chasing people. No,
balloon tires.
In all seriousness, we've got some good interceptors that Sheriff Vigil is bringing on board. And I think although it'll take some time to get everything caught back up, I think we're on the right direction there.
Kiki, get on this show. You missed out on the first round. Get on here. Talk about your new police department. Have you guys ever at one of these meetings talked about terrorism?
You know, Kelly, we haven't. We sure waste a lot of time on other things. At our meeting yesterday, Kelly, we spent over an hour telling the fire marshal that he could not have one additional paid staff from 15 to 16 people to man fire stations. We spent an hour on that, but no, we haven't. We haven't spent any time on dealing with this terrorism threat right across our border. And that's an indication of what the chairman wants to focus on, and I think it's disappointing, but that's where it is.
Billy Garrett, come on now. Let's saddle up here. Let's do a little investigation. I mean, it is not that many miles away, and we're sitting here. We don't even know if it's true. The government, I'm certain, has the ability to take satellites over this area and look into it. We could, the FBI, the CIA, frankly, aren't there investigators in the police department or the sheriff's department that could go and try to find out?
We have some terrific investigators in the sheriff's department. I don't know that they would go across the border to look into that, Kelly. That would probably be a dangerous situation for them to be in. But I am real proud of our sheriff's department. We've got a real strong sheriff's department. And although we've got to get the personnel back up and the vehicles and equipment back up, I think we'll be as prepared as one can be for something like that.
We need a tank.
No, we don't need a tank, Kelly.
All right, so what else is going on in the county? We're talking to Ben Rawson. He's a county commissioner.
Well, Kelly, I'm going to jump back to last week real quick. I appreciate you letting me call in for your listeners that may have been listening or may not have been. I called in last week from the hospital as I just had a new child born earlier that morning. But one of the reports, I didn't want to get lost because this is a real positive event or a thing that's happened, and I want to make sure people see that we're making good headway, and that's on transparency. You know, a lot of people talk about transparency, but it's important when you actually see actions. And one of the things that I'm real proud to have accomplished is that the videos from the meetings are now available the same day as the meeting took place. When I came into it's a big deal, Kelly. When I came into office, it was taking a week to get those things posted compared to the city of Las Cruces, who posted theirs the same day. So this is an enormous thing that we're doing and making sure that people can see what their commissioners are talking about while it's still fresh and they can deal with it. So I'm real happy about that. Just kind of wanted to remind people there. I think it got a little lost with the other great news that I had on my son, Luke Michael.
How's your kid doing?
He's doing well. I could use a little bit more sleep, but that'll come in time.
Now, how much does a newborn sleep, or how often, when do they wake up and stuff? What's your experience?
How often do they sleep? Not enough. How often do they wake up? A lot. No, he's doing real well. Actually, we got a 4-hour stretch last night, which was real nice. So that was a good little stretch to get some rest. And then, of course, with three other kids, then they get up in the morning and are looking for attention too. But we're doing well, and it's exciting to have a new addition to the family.
Wow, congratulations. And so you called in from the hospital in the last show.
I did. It was kind of fun. Brought you some breaking news. Hope that was all right.
Fantastic. And how much did the kid weigh?
Big kid. Luke came in at 9 pounds, 3 ounces, and
wow.
19 and a half inches. So real fun.
He's almost ready for high school already.
It was... He's going to be a good guy, although my son, William, who's 6, wants to start teaching him T-ball, and I think it's a little too early for that, but we'll get him on that.
I don't know. Well, I think Tiger Woods was cracking the golf balls over his crib when he was just a few months.
There you go. Well, Kelly, the Rossin Report for this week is on the comprehensive plan, and there's, for those of your listeners that are not aware, there's a comprehensive plan in the county that has to be renewed every 20 years. And so for the last 2 years, the county has been working on this new comprehensive plan, and they put out a draft for comments, and the deadline for comments was last Friday, and then they'll be taking those comments into account and putting out another draft for people to look at. So that's the stage that we're at, but the comprehensive plan is the plan of what we want to see done in the county. And I'll tell you, reading through this thing, it's scary, Kelly.
How so?
You know, I'll jump to one area, which is, excuse me, Kelly, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the page trying to think of a good headline for this, but it deals with farmers' ability to sell their land. And one of the things that it does is, you know, it recognizes that farmers often rely on their future ability to subdivide the land at a profit in order to finance their farms. However, the county doesn't want to let that happen. And it goes on to say that the county should explore ways for farmers to be able to protect the land and to work them into land trusts instead of letting them get sold. And that's a big problem when you would tell the farmers they can't do what they want to with their land. If they want to stop farming it, they're going to have to sell it to the county or some other land trust.
Wait a second. This is starting to sound like Agenda 21.
It's bad news, Kelly. And for those farmers out there that are listening, they need to pay attention because this has a significant impact on the value of their land.
Jeez.
So that's
crazy.
You know, the big focus on here is on open spaces and bicycle and transit systems and things like that. And I have to remind people, we're not talking about the city of Las Cruces. We're talking about Doñana County, a county that includes Chaparral, a county that includes Anthony, a county that includes Hatch and Garfield. These are not biking urban communities. And yet, that's the attention that it takes on it, and a lot of focus on open space. And the problem is, we have someone writing this plan that has not been here to Doñana County, so they don't understand that we do have open space.
Yeah. So I mean, but how can your property have any worth if you can't sell it?
If you can't sell it, Kelly, it has no worth. And if you can only sell it to the county, or if you can only sell it to the New Mexico Land Conservancy or some other group that's going to just sit on it, you know, it also causes another problem, Kelly, for all of those farmers that are adjacent. Because the county is obviously not going to farm the land, at least not efficiently. And so that means you're going to have weeds and all kinds of other problems. Land, farmland specifically, needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're just going to abandon it, it causes problems for all of the neighbors as well.
That's Agenda 21 talk right there. 523-1450 to call in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. We will be right back. We're talking to Ben Rawson and his Rawson report, and another disappointment from the county. The hits just keep on coming. Speaking of which, here's little Billy Joel. Be right back, 716, and call in 523-1450. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. This is Dan.
Hey,
I was
Dan.
Wondering if you could ask Rawson a question for me.
Sure. He's here. Did you want to ask Dan? Did you want to ask on the air?
Not necessary to.
But I think it's more interesting if people can hear a voice attached to it. What are you going to ask him?
Okay. I wanted to ask him about. I'm wondering if it's true that the county commissioners held back funds from Sheriff Garrison because he was a Republican.
Wow, that's kind of heavy duty question.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that all of a sudden now there's money available.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, let me put you on hold, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. It is Kelly here, and we do have a caller, and it is Dan. And thanks for the call, Dan. And you wanted to ask about how one sheriff doesn't get funding and another sheriff comes in and suddenly gets all the funding he needs.
That's true. Yeah, I wanted to ask Commissioner Rawson, how come the county all of a sudden has funds available for the sheriff's department when they didn't have funds available to Sheriff Garrison? Was it because he was a Republican?
You know, I think that's a really good question, and I think you've hit a good nail on the head there. I would point out that in the additional funding that the county commission gave to Sheriff Kiki, the Democrat, two Democrats voted against that. The chairman, Billy Garrett, and the vice chairman, Wayne Hancock, voted against it, and it's only because of Commissioner Leticia Benavides and Garcia and myself that funding was provided to them. So I think the biggest thing is not as much the party, but just a fact of priorities. And the chairman and the vice chairman clearly have different priorities than supporting the sheriff's department.
You know, obviously, the priorities in the state are not for the safety of the citizens of the county.
No, and you're exactly right. You know, even as I'm talking about this comprehensive plan today, this is a plan that cost the county $3 million to put together this plan. And like I pointed out, the plan is has a lot of problems in it. And so here we're spending a lot of money on plans, but no money for the sheriff's department. And it's clearly a wrong prioritization.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate the job you're doing there. You've got one big hill to climb, and I appreciate all of everything that you tried to do for the people. And thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Have a good day. All right.
And you know, Kelly, I really appreciate Dan saying that, and it's neat when I can get something together with some of the Democrat county commissioners, work together across the aisle to do what we need to do for the county, which is supporting the sheriff.
Yeah. We need another call. Thanks for the call, Kelly O'Connell. Show is this. What's up, Mike?
I understand this here. I mean,
Mike, we can barely hear you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
It's even worse.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Can you call back and see if it's a better connection? Are you calling through the internet?
calling through a magic chair.
Okay, call back and let's see if we have a better connection.
Okay.
All right, there's Mike calling in from satellite from some distant planet.
You know, Kelly, while we're talking about the comprehensive plan, while we're waiting for Mike to come call back in, this adds six new departments to the county, and the biggest one being a new economic development department. And again, it looks like Mike's calling back in.
He's here. Mike, thanks. And what's up?
How's it been?
It's about the same. Let's see if we can understand you.
Okay. They raise taxes on here, right?
What's that?
They raise taxes.
Yes.
And then they're doing this land grab again, you know. People here take it like slaves. I mean, why don't they you're getting fair warning ahead of time what's going to happen. Then they bring someone in from outside that doesn't even live here to change the, you know, the Agenda 21 thing. It's ridiculous. This whole town is like run by the New World Order or something. They do everything the New World Order wants to do. They're like a bunch of slaves.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, well, can you take the answer off the air?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. You know, one of the things that Mike pointed out, that yes, the county commission recently raised taxes, gross receipts tax, by 0.38%. That's the largest increase in the history of Doñana County, and it passed on a 4-1 vote, with me being the only person voting against it. But, you know, during the conversation on that and the debate, there was one comment that was made by Commissioner Hancock that I think really showed the thought process behind it. He said, we have a moral responsibility to raise these taxes so that we can provide things for people. And that's part of the problem, Kelly, is individuals on the commission seem to think that by taking money from other people, we can use it wiser than they would. And all you have to do is go to any meeting and see what we're spending money on, and you'd know that that's not the wisest use of funds. So the problem is this attitude of, we know better, we're county commissioners, and we know better than you. You obviously don't know what you need, so we're going to tell you what you need. One of the things that the gross receipts tax is going to be used for is $750,000 are going to be used for the transit system. The transit system that was just voted down in November.
How much?
$750,000.
What are they going to use it for?
They're going to use it to buy buses and put in a bus system.
All right, so the vote of the people doesn't stand for anything with the county commission.
The vote of the people doesn't matter at all to the commissioners, and that's really disappointing to me because Kelly, your listeners are my employer. You know, that's who I report to. And so obviously the other commissioners don't see that in this area of government.
Ben, let me ask you one thing. We're talking to Ben Ross in county commission. Let's just say that you weren't on the commission to protest or to get in the way of this stuff. These people have a vision for the future. They have thought it out carefully. They've been working on it for decades. Wouldn't it be better to just get out of the way and allow these people to do what they want and make the community a better place to live? What's your response to that?
You know, Kelly, this is my home. I was born and raised here. I've got my family here. I want my kids to grow up and to have a place, to have a job when they grow up. And the direction that Billy Garrett and the chairman is taking this community is not the right direction.
Why?
Kelly, you look at the growth of the county government. We've had a 57% increase in the size of government since 2007. At the same time that the rest of the economy is in a recession, county government has increased by 57%.
Didn't they say recently, though, to vote for taxes was morally the morally right thing to do?
The morally right thing to do.
What is that based on, as far as you can tell, that claim?
That claim is based on an elitist mentality of, we know better and you don't know what you need, so we're going to take your money and spend it in a more efficient way.
All right, so what they're going to do is build a community that's better for everybody and is going to help the poor better, help people bus around, and to what's some of the other things they're going to do?
You know, Kelly, you've got the land situation that we were just talking about. You know, don't let people use their farmland for what they want to. It needs to go to the county if they're not going to keep
the county is preserving farmland for the future of agriculture. What do you think?
Kelly, I guess I come at it from a completely different perspective, which is that government is not efficient. You can sit through any one of our meetings and you can see that county is that the government is not efficient.
How about this? The government is the only group that will look out for the poor.
That's crazy, Kelly.
Why?
Because I can tell you what my church does. I can tell you what I do as an individual.
But don't we need to separate church and state?
No.
But we can't depend on churches to take care of poor people. When isn't it the government's responsibility?
Well, I suppose we could depend on the government for everything, and then we just go to a socialist state, and that's certainly nothing that I'm in favor of.
All right. So these people see that maybe they're not religious people. Maybe Billy Garrett and Wayne Hancock are not religious, but they see the state as having this important, almost godlike responsibility to care for the poor and to establish a better community. They take a little bit of extra money. So what?
You know, Kelly, something I'm thinking of at the moment, which is you can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or
yeah.
You can teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. And that's part of the difference here is what Billy Garrett wants to do is hand people food, Meals on Wheels, other types of things. And I have no problem with those programs. But the focus needs to be on getting people to where they can sustain themselves, not keeping them in a position where they're always going to need that government help. And part of that is by providing economic development and providing job opportunities. We don't have job opportunities here, Kelly. You look at the four surrounding counties, and there's more economic development in all four of the counties around us than in each one individually than there is here in Doñana County. We've got a lot going on in Santa Teresa, and all we continue to hear from the chairman is that we need to stop investing money down there because we're not getting a return on investment. And, Kelly, we've got to encourage that economic development and encourage that job growth here in Doñana County.
Well, it seems like they're saying let's focus on the government and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah, and I'd rather focus on the jobs and then it'll fall into place too, because when people have money, when they have a job, when they have money to use how they want for what they want to use it for, everyone's doing better.
All right, so you're saying, in essence, Wayne Hancock and Billy Garrett's plans are like a Rio Grande flounder.
I am. It's very frustrating when you go through this comprehensive plan. There's a tiny little bit that talks about water. Water is a huge thing here in Doñana County, yet that isn't the focus on this plan because this plan wasn't written by somebody who's from here.
Who was it written by?
Kelly, the contract from Doñana County went to pacemakers out of Albuquerque, and then they contracted with somebody out of Ohio who's actually doing the writing. I think he did actually fly in here one day and drove up to Hatch on the freeway before he had to go back to the airport, but that's the extent.
Maybe it was during monsoon season.
You know, maybe it was.
523-1450. Kelly here. It's 7:30. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. And I got Ben Rawson here. We're talking about the spending priorities of the county and a couple of different visions. One is independent and to grow the economy, and the other one is to grow the government. So, Ben, are you out of here?
Kelly, I am out of here, but if anyone would like to contact me, I'll leave my cell phone number. It's 575-649-4153. Or you can go to the county's website, doñanacounty.org, and get my contact information there. And I'd love to hear from any of your listeners, Kelly.
Thanks for coming in, Ben. Thanks for your Rawson report. We'll be right back, folks. Hey, it's Kelly, and 735 on KOBE 1450 AM Las Cruces, and 523-1450 to call in. Had Ben in here. Now, pretty interesting what he's talking about. That's the two visions. One vision says, let's build up the government because we need to protect everybody, and we need to, make a safer, community, better able to support the poor and all these different things. And, for instance, working on rapid transit, mass transit, I guess it's not rapid, it's a bus, but and actually going against the vote of the people. The people didn't vote for the transit plan, and they didn't support the tax plan, and yet the county commission's doing both of those. The other view is work on the economy, and these spending issues will take care of themselves. So 523-1450 to call in on that. And let's go over a few stories here. California water deliveries slashed, and they're already been slashed. So it's getting extremely desperate out there in these California areas where, frankly, the drought has been going on so long. It's just it's tightening its grip on California. Now you've got people out that are hiring workers to come out and to, take jackhammers and tear their pools up and, just destroy their pools because they don't see in the future enough water to have swimming pools. And there's obviously millions of swimming pools in California. So with that going on, it is a little bit nerve-wracking, I think, for the people there, especially the farmers. And the farmers in the Delta region, which is up in the Central Valley area, the Delta, the old farmers have almost basically unlimited rights to pump water out of the Delta water supply, and that doesn't leave much for those downstream. So it's a tremendous problem. All right, I'm looking at an article, Top 10 Destinations for International Migrants. By far, the United States is number one, without any parallel to any other place. And it looks like it is about, I would say, 30% of the world immigrants end up in the United States. And then Russia, Germany, Saudi Arabia. Who would move to Saudi Arabia? I don't know. UAE, another Muslim state. The UK, France, Canada, Australia, and Spain. And they're talking about the numbers of people that have moved. And this is from The Telegraph, by the way. In 2013, the number of immigrants globally was more than 231 million. And the number that came into England or the UK was 7.8 million. And so the number in Europe, the UK had the third largest number of immigrants. And then Europe and Asia both had a little bit under 75 million, then North America, 50 million. But the number one place to end up was in the United States. So there's a lot of foreign immigration, and there's an extraordinary number. It would seem to me during a time when we're fighting, and you might find this controversial, 523-1450, if you do call in, but there seems to be an enormous number of Muslim immigrants that are coming in to America. And from what I understand, they're not doing background checks on these people. So that's a little bit distressing when we haven't really even come to grips with the radical part of Islam yet. We insist on calling the entire thing a religion of peace. And then there's a few freaks that are outliers that go and do violence. And the fact is, we don't have any idea what percentage of these people actually support terrorism. We have no idea. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Joe, it's Mike again.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Kelly, there's a good article on InfoWars, and the headline is ISIS has camps on U.S. border, but Obama says right-wing extremists like Tea Party and Patriots are the greatest terror threat. What do you think about that?
I mean, that's ridiculous, of course. I mean, look, Mike, how would this administration look at the founding fathers?
They look at them as right-wing extremists.
If you don't have the founding fathers, you don't have the Constitution. And it's a very troubling scenario here. Anybody who's a patriot, anybody who wants to, you know, kind of preserve the greatness that has been America for lo these many years since the beginning of the country, has got to be concerned that this country, the government, seems to be targeting conservatives, Tea Party people, Christians, churches, and claiming that they've got radical ideas. People, they just recently came out with something that said the Bible has got hate speech in it. I mean, it's how far is this going to go?
We know it. I think, Kelly, ISIS and Al-Qaeda were created by the CIA, and the CIA is no longer running drugs into the country through the cartels. And I would not be surprised if they use ISIS in this country to set up false flags, then go after more of our rights and confiscate the guns.
All right. Well,
they got to figure out. And now another thing they're doing is they're closing down Walmarts in certain areas of the country because they say they're plumbing problems and it's going to take 6 months to fix.
Uh-huh.
And they're closing them down just when the Jade Helm military exercise is starting.
Yeah.
So if you put two and two together, maybe they're preparing for a cyber martial law or something. That Janet Napolitano, when she was head of DHS, said, I would suggest people have about 3 months worth of food on hand.
Huh.
She says, I know something's coming up. And I mean, that was, she just came out and said it.
Yeah.
It was nothing secret, you know?
Interesting. Okay, Mike. Well, your call's breaking up a little bit. I got to take a break here though, but thanks for the call. Interesting points. All right, folks, we've got people. There's a lot of people out there that are worried about this possibility of the government taking over, as crazy as that sounds. Let's take a little break here. It's 7:43 on KOBE 1450 in Las Cruces. Kelly O'Connell here, and we'll be right back. And got a great story to finish it up. Okay, so we've got this. I had told you we were going to look at atheism over this week, and we had a lot of various stories on. I want to play for you a little clip. U.S. pastor gets mind blown in atheistic Europe. This is the direction it seems like we're headed now. I got my buddy Doug Groteis, who's an apologist, I guess, a professor of apologetics. He's a philosophy doctor, and he's going to come on Friday. We can have give and take on that one too. Here, check this out. U.S. pastor in atheistic Europe. Showing a picture of the northern part, the top part to Sweden, Finland, Norway of Europe. In these countries, maybe they're showing a graph, maybe 20% of the people would say religion is important to be, and then the United States, 65%. This guy is a he's in Copenhagen. He's a minister. This is from a bigger series, but so Europe is a very, very kind of atheistic place, and I've lived in Ireland, obviously, so the people in Ireland tended to be very religious, but they were Catholic to a large extent. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is David.
Hey, David, what's up?
How you doing, Kelly?
Good.
Hey, you know, the voters of Doñana County have been disenfranchised by Hancock Hood and his three followers. I mean...
Yeah,
they're gonna
literally.
They're going to slam dunk this transit system. What do we have as rights as voters to put a stop to this thing?
Well, I mean, you know, you could launch a lawsuit against the government, but those are very hard to do. But you could claim that you were, as you say, literally disenfranchised. We voted on this. You know, the Constitution, the Declaration of Constitution only allow a government by consent. We did not consent to this. And you're, you know, misappropriating funds that were not allocated and using the back door to get this stuff established. You could try to do something like that. It would be a real uphill battle, though.
That's probably why they're doing this, because they know that no one has the funds or the time to go out and actually do it, unless, you know, some lawyer just says, you know what, I'm a fed up too, and so I'm gonna take the course on this, and I'm gonna go for it.
You know what? I think the real problem is that people no longer understand the rights that are talked about in the Constitution. They don't have any feel for them. They seem like they're kind of marginal or disconnected from their rights. And so to the idea that you would stand up to the government is ridiculous. It would be a waste of time. It would embarrass you. It would, you know, cause you to, you could become a pariah. You could lose all your money. I mean, the idea that you would stand up and fight for your rights, I think, is almost alien to most Americans now.
Well, and see, and that's a scary thing. That's how come we're going down this ugly road to, you know, you have 60% or 68% of the people say no, and then you got three loose cannons and Robin Hood down there saying, guess what? We don't care what they said. Now we're gonna do it our way because we are such infinite people compared to the pheasants and the voters of this county, mm-hmm. that now we're going to do what's right for them. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and then, like you said, people won't stand up and do anything. And I, for one, am very frustrated by this. I email Robin Hood Hancock all the time. And, you know, it's like, he don't even care. He just,
well,
who are you, buddy?
Yeah. I mean, if you feel like you're really representing the truth that people need, and that people don't understand you, how seriously are you going to be taken, you know?
Right.
All right, so I'm running out of time, but I appreciate the call, and don't give up.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot. All right, folks, let's take a little break here. Squeeze in some atheism here. We'll definitely talk about it Friday. It's Kelly here, and really appreciate you tuning in today on AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. All right, so how about connecting some dots here? The history of the West, the history of our people that have, you know, arisen from Europe and, you know, become established around the world, the ideas from Europe and the West that have become so prominent in the 20th and 21st century. Those ideas were at some level related to Christianity. Now, you can argue why. You can say it's a fluke or whatever. But they say that, you know, the church had this seedbed of scholars. It built the first, you know, modern universities or the first modern, you know, schools. And a lot of these people that were trained in it were priests. And they did the foundational work on this culture. And then after the Reformation, there was, in the same way that Martin Luther was able to fight against the church, it allowed him, empowered people to fight against the government in later years, the same theories. There's a connection between the church and the church philosophers and natural law, natural rights. In other words, what we have, we're experiencing here in Dona Ana, the rights that we have that we feel like that are getting taken away from us by, say, the county commission. There's a connection between that and the church and atheism is, according to some people, the damage, the danger, the threat. And so anyway, well, the last couple of days we're going to talk about atheism, give you a chance to express your opinion on this stuff and to, I don't know, if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, call in and let's talk about it. This show is recorded on Blog Talk Radio. You can go there and put in my name,